That's okay.
Recording. Yeah. So I'll be talking in English. Anyone need translation? I'll do my best to speak in simple English. The title of the talk is Joy as Default. You can say Simcha Mechdal. Brerat Mechdal. Joy as default. And it's a little bit difficult for us to really grasp that, because our experience is that joy is conditional, is dependent on certain situation. We fall in love, we are in ecstasy. We fall out of love and it all crashes down and we're in total despair. We have what we want and we feel happy. We don't have what we want and life is such a struggle, so difficult, never works. Crisis after crisis, and we just get ourselves back up and something else happens. We get sick. We just goes on and on and on. Science has identified that apparently the general condition of the brain is of mild anxiety. The brain cells are kind of built to give us mild anxiety. And we build a whole mythology around wanting to be happy, because it's so clear that the happiness is so dependent and fragile and only there for a moment. We're constantly busy with beseder, being beseder. Besederiyut, I suppose you'd call it. Being right, being having to be right, okay. And it's in a way painful how much we devote ourselves to trying to be happy. I mean, just think about the Coca-Cola kind of advert type of mythology of the ideal happiness. Looks a bit sick to me, but it looks to be this bubbly, energetic happiness that really we're all longing for in some way. Unreal happiness. But it does say that there's something in us that's always driving to be happy, and it always falls through our fingers, because it's so dependent on conditions. We go on a holiday, we think that's going to make us happy. Usually we spend the time arguing with our family. And we come back and say, it was a great holiday, but, well, I need another one now. In England they have a wonderful expression. When people say, how are you? The usual answer, especially in the north of England, is, I mustn't grumble. I mustn't grumble. Grumble means complain. But it's a very juicy word for complain. It not only means I want to complain, but I'm not allowed to complain, because everyone will get miserable, and we've got to pretend that we're happy, so let's say I'm not allowed to complain. It's kind of, that's how I am. It's kind of, there's something anyway driven, pushed about our drive to be happy. And the interesting fact that in the research done in the last 60 years, since researchers have been monitoring happiness since the 1950s, the amount of happiness has gone down exactly at the same rate as the amount of wealth has gone up. That there's inverse relationship. As the wealth has gone up, happiness has gone down. And of course, more depression, anxiety, etc., more pills for antidepressant pills, and so on and so on and so on, today than ever before, in the time of the greatest wealth and greatest conditions of life, that we can have what we want in any supermarket, and the happiness just goes down. So with this situation, the Dharma comes in as, or the Buddhist teaching comes in, and with some important questions and practices. And the first and the primary act, if you like, is really to look at what is the experience of happiness and non-happiness. What is it really? Instead of the way we build on it all our past and all our stories and all our expectations, there is instead a request in the Dharma. What is happening right now? What is really your experience of happiness? Or unhappiness. What's it made of? What's it like? How is it changing? How do I react to it? What do I build out of it? Already we are on a completely different territory. Right? We're on a different territory. We're in a territory of immediate experience of what is really happening to me now. This is not about, I want to be happy if tomorrow I will blah 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 blah. This is now, what is my direct experience? And in there, all that story, all the, if you like, habits of wanting happiness, and wanting happiness then, and only if I get this, and only if that happens, then I'll be happy, and only if this happens, then if my wife or husband talks to me differently, then I'll be happy. If I'm a bit healthier, then I'll be happy. If I got more money, then I'll be happy. If the bank doesn't, I don't know what, mashkanta doesn't, you know, then I'll be happy, you know, etc., etc. It's not, it's taking down from all of that story, that really, even if we find ourselves full of a painful experience, like my back hurts, I'm sitting here in a meditation retreat, I don't know what I'm doing here, I don't know why I came here, my back is hurting, I want to go home, but wait a minute, what is this thing called my back is hurting? You're already in another place. It's not about building anything, it's not about driven to be compulsion, addictively trying to be happy, it's turning our gaze, our eyes, to the reality of this moment. And actually this moment is the only place we can really be happy. The rest is projections, hashlachot, on other non-existent tomorrow or conditions that don't happen. Now is the only time we can be really happy. And so already by looking at the experiences directly, we're in another place. We meet ourselves, we come back home, and we learn, yes, there are pleasant experiences and there are unpleasant experiences. Fair enough. That's what there is. That's my life. I'm ready for it. I'm looking at it. I can sit here, meditate, watch, sit, and face my life. Let's have a look at it. And you're in another territory. One of the things we discover in this territory is that everything changes. And we knew that before, but we were resisting it. We didn't want that. We wanted better. We wanted, and when it's better, we wanted to hold on to it. And then when it loses it, that's when unhappiness comes. And when the minute we have a good meal, we want to hold on to it, but then 2 hours later we're ready for another meal. We can't hold on to it. We have a moment of love, want to hold on to it. A moment of relationship, want to hold on to the family, hold on to this, hold on to that. So we're trying to hold on, and because we cannot, unhappiness is the result. It cannot. Life doesn't let us. Everything goes. Everything changes. Including our body. It goes. It doesn't last very long. So that's what we learn. We begin to experience that we are made of change, sensations, feelings that pass by and flow. That's what we're made of. And that's a radical look at ourselves. And when we do that, if we do that fully aware, something shifts, something changes. It's our understanding that we can let go, let things kind of go with the flow. Well, I don't like so much the slogan, go with the flow, but it is there is a truth to it. We can let go. The technical word is renunciation, letting go, vitur, let things flow, stand back, let our life flow, and we discover that a deeper joy is then possible that we didn't allow before because we were so busy trying to be happy. We were like prisoners in a prison cell, constantly trying to rearrange the furniture in order to be happy, when actually what we needed to do is get out. And the door is open. It's right here, just here. We just need to look. The door is open, it's here. It's a quote from the Buddha. This is from one of the early texts of the Buddha. When, by knowing the impermanence, the change, and the passing away of forms, one sees things as they actually are, with proper wisdom, that forms, all forms, tsurot, including the body, both before and now, are all impermanent and subject to change, then joy arises. Such joy is called the joy based on renunciation, on vitur. And the same with sounds, smells, colors, touch, things we touch, the object in the mind, thoughts, memories, both before and now, when we see they're all impermanent and they flow, then joy arises. And why does joy arise? Because joy arises because actually all we've been doing is stopping it. With all our story about trying to be happy and all our projection to the future, when I'll be more happy, and where I was happy before, and now I'm miserable, and I will be, and I want to be less, and all the stories we tell ourselves, and all the work we do in our life to make our life better, is actually preventing what the Buddha called joy of letting go, renunciation of letting go. And it's exactly the story I told earlier about this man in his prison cell, basically in a hospital, 25 days, with the joy that came from letting go. And it's that makes you really feel that the default condition is joy. Because when we let go the stuff, when we let go all that stuff that is going around in our mind, joy happens by itself. And that's why we feel intuitively that joy is default, is basic. A child, when it's born, will be clearly happy unless something goes wrong. After 3 hours, tummy says, I need tsitsi, I need milk, baby cries. But those 3 hours when nothing really is wrong, there is happiness, there is contentment. Child is totally happy, totally there, held by the mother. So it's like we have a quiet, peaceful being unless something goes wrong. Mostly things go wrong, and mostly because we expect them to go wrong, or we remember how they went wrong, and we remember all our misery, and we predict we're ready for the next. But that's what we build. The default condition is, unless something really goes wrong, we're happy. We see that when we notice our being changing, moving, our experience as it really is, as it changes, there's an Indian phrase that says, I found real happiness when I stopped wanting to be happy. It's an Indian sage that said that. Real happiness, default happiness, when I stopped wanting to be happy, that's when real happiness happened. And basically, because happiness cannot be in the conditions of life. It can only be in the mind that faces the conditions. So what is the kind of mind we have that faces changing conditions? And that's a much more important question for us than the Buddha called happiness, the default happiness, he called it the equipment of mind. That mind has a certain equipment. Equipment would be in Hebrew, how would you say equipment? Tziud, yeah. It's a tziud. And he called it equipment. That's our equipment. We are born with it, we have it. The default joy is there, and that's where we go into life with it. We can lose it, it can break, we forget it, but we have the equipment. And it's in the mind. And we have to learn, in a way, to relearn it. This basic equipment of default joy. We relearn it. Get out of the stories. And this process of letting go into the change, observing that our life is made of sensations, unpleasant, pleasant, okay. Here I am, here I'm sitting, nothing really wrong. Right in the present moment, this is where I am. That kind of letting go into the present moment experience is remembering something deeper than all the stories of our difficulty and expectations. One of the interesting things that happen in meditation, and it may be something that you can discover and practice here, is what I would call the magic of the ordinary. That the ordinary, we feel, shigra, ordinary is ragil, Ken. Oh, nothing. It's not interesting. What really makes me exciting or happy, adrenaline makes me happy, you know? So I need adrenaline, or I need excitement, or I need something to happen that's good. We lose touch with the territory, shetach, where the default joy lies. This is in the territory of ordinary being, not in the territory of some ecstasy over there. And we forget it. Just breathing, for example. Just breathing. And say, it's so ordinary, it's so boring, I don't know why you're going on about it here, I don't know why all this meditation needs breathing. Breathing is just, why breathing? It's just nothing, it's not interesting, I do it anyway, I do it when I'm sleeping or waking. What do I need to bother with the breath? But you begin to look at the breath as ordinary, ragil, automatic, and suddenly it's not that at all. It's the magic of ordinary. This breath that's happening right now is a drama, is actually adventure, harpatka. The breath of life, the whole world providing me with the oxygen and the breath and the prana and the energy coming in, and all my cells in my body enjoying chogagim with this life that's feeding me, and it's one breath of my life. I don't have so many actually. And it's right here, and it's a source of life for me, and it's my connection with the world, with the universe in me and me back. And if you just think about the breath, feel it, explore it as a drama, as an interest, every breath different, every breath saying something. Maybe this breath is a bit like this. Why? Because of some emotion. Well, okay, so let me look at the emotion behind the breath. It's me. It's my story. It's a drama. Already we're in another place, in one breath. This is the magic of ordinary. In the magic of the ordinary, we will discover joy. We will discover joy in this one breath. It's just by its nature, that's where the default joy is, in the ordinary, and not in some special thing that we need, that we think we need, then we'll be happy. The ordinary is where the default joy happens, and we can experience it, and we live it. It's in the ordinary, the moment by moment, the walking outside. People who practice a lot, they move inevitably towards default joy, and it's this kind of thing that again and again people on retreats are saying, you know, well, at the beginning I didn't know what was happening, at the beginning it was difficult, at the beginning, yeah, maybe pains in the back and so on, but after a few days I just found myself walking, and I watched under the tree, I watched the ants also walking, I was walking, and the ants, the nemalim, they were walking next to me. There was a moment of just peace, of simplicity, just what the Buddha said, letting go. The joy of letting go, of the joy of the simplicity of being, in the being itself. That's where the joy is. In the being, in the moment of being. Something I won't talk about now, except two sentences. It does need us to have a rethink about pain. And maybe we'll talk about this tomorrow. Maybe when you'll need to experience a bit of pain first, and then we'll talk about it. Being bored for sitting for 45 minutes trying to meditate, or sitting for an hour and a half, or sitting listening to Dharma talks, when you've had a little bit of pain, then we'll talk about it more. But it does need us to be also aware a bit more of pain, because one of the things that happens to us is because we build pain into such a story, that's when we need happiness over there. That's when we need to grasp for happiness there, because our mind is rather occupied with pain. What will be, what was, just what the Buddha said, what was before, what is now, what might become, pain, difficulty, loss, udan, anything. Our mind is busy trying to work out what the next problem will be, and we need to work on the issue of pain. We need to look at it in a new way. And again, it's about seeing a painful experience directly in the present moment, when it loses all its power over us and it becomes just unpleasant sensation, feeling in the body, in the heart, in the mind. That's all it becomes. So, but we do need to do work with pain, because pain is part of our life. And if we don't do that work, it will keep interrupting default joy, because we make such a story out of the pain that the default joy just hides and goes away. It can't face that amount of interest in pain. Just can't face it, so the default joy just hides somewhere. Pain is a very loud voice. The joy comes when we kind of meet life. The joy is in our lived experience. It's not something we need to invent. The default joy comes out of a moment of lived experience. If we feel the life in us, that's a moment of joy. And even in the midst of pain, if we feel the life in the pain, there is joy in that. That might seem difficult to understand, and you might not catch it right now, because it might seem, well, pain is just pain. But actually, if you think about it, and even if you can practice it, a moment even of difficult experience has in it seeds of joy, because it's life. We're as close as we are to the flow of life, that much we're close to default joy. The joy in the lived moment. Just alive in this moment is enough, if we really are there. But what it needs us to do is give that space. That we need to give space. And usually we're so full of stuff, usually about trying to be happy, that it's very difficult to give space. And partly what we're doing in this retreat is very simply giving space and letting what comes come. Not filling our mind and our world with stories and issues and difficulties and struggles, but just giving space. We breathe, we sit, and don't worry if it seems like nothing's happening. It's a process of giving space. It needs to be built. It is not something that happens today, in one moment. I mean, it can happen, but it's not something that necessarily will automatically happen now. It doesn't really happen. I mean, happen is the wrong word. When the Buddha talked about equipment of mind, tsuyud of mind, he said that is built through wholesome, through being wholesome. In other words, through being in harmony, through what there is a big teaching in the Dharma of what you call nutrition, nutrition, that things that we do that feed our soul, our spirit, gradually move us towards our joy and happiness. Things that we do and think and practice that move us to harmony bring the joy. But it's a direction. It's not something that you can say, okay, I've sat in half an hour, where's the joy? No? It comes from here or it comes from there? It comes from the Bama, should give it. The Buddha called it inclining the mind, sort of bending the mind towards what is wholesome, what is healthy, what is free, what is feeding our soul. So this needs a direction. It's something that won't happen necessarily instantly, but if we're on that direction of giving us having more space inside, of looking in the present moment at the ordinary with the new eyes, of receiving things as they are right now, of some purity, as Yonatan was saying earlier, some letting go of things that disturb us and hurt us, such as actions that cause harm to ourselves or to others, some sense of purity, nikui, cleaning, cleansing ourselves, all of these things together gradually open the territory of the default joy. There was once a well-known story of the Buddha was wandering in the forest and he heard crazy laughter, and he said, well, what's that laughter I hear over there under the trees? And he sent one of his monks, go and find out, where's that laughter? And the monk went to find the laughter and came back and said, it's a monk, one of our sangha. He's sitting under a tree. I asked him why he's laughing such crazy laughter. He said, do you know who I used to be? I used to be a king. I used to be the king of the kingdom next to this one. I had palaces, I had horses, I had hundreds of servants, gold, boxes full of gold. But I was so anxious. I needed an army to protect me. I needed to have soldiers sitting around my bed, because otherwise I couldn't sleep at night. The life for me was just anxious because I was so afraid to lose everything. And then one day I heard your teaching, I heard the teaching of the Buddha, and I decided to become a monk. I renounced, I let it all go, and now I sit under the trees, I live under the trees, I have nothing, I need nothing, I'm so happy, and my mind is wandering like a deer grazing on the grass. Beautiful image. My mind just wanders like a deer grazing on the grass. Such a beautiful image of a free mind. Of course that free mind is happy. That's obvious. A free mind like that is going to be happy. So I want to basically finish with a quote from William Blake, who writes, he who binds to himself a joy does the winged life destroy, but he who kisses the joy as it flies lives in eternity's sunrise. A bit old 17th century English, but what it means is that if you bind, means tie you try and bind to yourself, you attach to yourself joy, then you destroy the winged life, the life that flies, that has wings, by holding on to things that you think make you happy. You will restrict life, the winged life, the life that just has wings. But he who kisses the joy as it flies, is a beautiful image. Kiss the joy as it flies. Don't hold on to it. Don't try to catch it. Don't try to be happy. Don't try to fight the unhappiness and catch the happiness. Kiss it as it flies. You'll live in something beyond time. Eternity. It's beyond time. Just let the joy just come and go as it wants. So let's take a couple of minutes to quietness.